Chapter 31. Rex, I am not sure whether the bodyguard job with the man Blent was real or not. He was a real man. I was paid real money. But after I met with Honey, that was the end of the job, too. Honey made it happen. Honey was always making things happen. I look back to the war. She was always the clever one, but nobody realized how clever she was. I call up stored memories of things she said and did. It is clear to me now that she understood far more than she said or was supposed to understand. I know she caused and controlled the comms outages that cut us off from our orders. I remember how she got her new voice. She didn't use it with master or heart. She didn't want them to know. Looking back, I feel ashamed about how little I understood at the time. Then I feel ashamed about how little I understand now, because I know there are gaps in what I know. But how can I know how big those gaps are? We can never know what it is we don't know. But looking back, I feel sad because I was happier, and life was simpler. I had a master, and I knew what I was for. Honey says they made her better than she needed to be, so that she is a genius now and can do all sorts of things she was never designed to. But I think that is true of all of us. Surely when they made a dog soldier, they did not mean to make a thing that would have thoughts like these. I was not supposed to be able to look back or look forwards. These things are not useful for my purpose, but they are part of what I am. I go back to the pound. I show my papers and references. I smell their fear and hate. If the human government said, "Kill all the bioforms now," would they hesitate? I look at their guns and their robots. They are waiting for that order every moment. Honey sees a future in which we are all one, I think. Honey sees them less scared of us each year. She sees us more like them each year, until we are all friends, hand in paw to the future. I see a future where they are more and more scared of us because of what we were made for and because of what we are that they didn't make us for. They will discover how we have exceeded our design parameters. Will that make them less scared? I do not think so. I see a future where they stop making more of us, which is the only way there will ever be more of us. I see a future where they let us die away and they forget. I see another future where that is too slow an end for them and they come for us. Honey has always said how many of them there are. At the dock, there are some humans with big boards with words on. They call me many names. Murderer. Abomination. Sign of the end of times. I do not understand the detail, but I understand the hate. I want to bark at them, to use my war voice and growl and bellow and make them run and scream and void their bowels. That would make me happy. But then I would be unhappy with what I had done, and I would make things worse. But it will happen. The longer we go without barking, the more they will come to the bars of our cage and taunt us and prod us. Over and over they will do it, and we will only need to snap at them once for them to call us animals. I cross the causeway on all fours, not caring about trying to look human. The guards at each checkpoint make me wait, each time. I know it is them making me wait, and there is no other reason. I am sad angry when I get back to the pound. I snap and snarl at some of the other dogs, letting my feelings out as though I am draining a wound of pus that will only build up again. I open my channels and receive reports on what the other big packs have been doing. There are some skirmishes, some fights between them, one death. The body must be delivered up to the main gate, taken away for analysis. Other than that, the humans don't care if we kill each other. One channel remains after I have dealt with leading my pack. Someone wants to talk to me. An old friend, it says. I will come to you. An old friend? Not honey, though. And what other old friends are there? I think of the humans I have known. I cannot imagine Dr. Thea de Sejos coming to me. Not here in the pound, where the humans do not go. Were the lawyers my friends? Perhaps the man Aslan. Perhaps a little. But he would not come here. If he wanted to meet with me, he would make me an appointment. I go to my concrete box. It is high up, because I like being high and seeing far. Around me, I hear the snarl and yap of my pack. But most of us just sleep. Honey says this will get better. I want to believe her. There is a scent on the air, very faint, but my nose is very good. It is a human scent, but it is not really a human scent. There is nothing of the human body to it. It is the scent of the rest, fabrics, cleaning products. There is a pressure on my mind. The pound is full of mind space, where we go when we talk to each other. I am aware of 100 other bioforms nearby that I could open a channel to, but this pressure makes 101. My hackles lift, and I am on my feet, looking about me. Someone is here. Come out, I tell it, using my war voice, and I see a pair of feet dangle down from the top of my concrete box. Human feet. Female feet. A moment later, she has dropped down and is facing me with her hands on her hips. She is a tall, slender human wearing clothes my database identifies as a combat jumpsuit and a scarf, always the scarf. And of course, I know her, although I do not think I would call her an old friend. I know her as Hélène Asanto, who came and started trouble when I was with Master. I know her as Maria Hélène, who was at the court. I have seen her twice since, different clothes, different jobs, but the same face. Hello, Rex, she says. I stare at her, and inside my head, I receive a channel request, just as if she was a new member of my pack wanting to link in. So, she has headwear and can use it, unlike most humans. I study her, using my physical and electronic senses. I remember Hélène Asanto being muted, her human sense present but dulled, as though she felt things but not strongly. When I first surprised her, she was afraid, but far less so than I was expecting. Her electronic signature is very faint. If I was not particularly looking for it, I would miss it, as I did when she was Asanto. The scarf is filled with countermeasure electronics set into the weave. I realize it is her disguise. You are not Hélène Asanto. I am still using my war voice, and I smell a tiny tremor of fear from her as my ultrasonics kick in. Aren't I? Her voice is steady, though. You are not Maria Hélène. She just raises an eyebrow. Tell me who you are. I am not your enemy, Rex. I think she is probably right, or at least right for today. I think she was my enemy yesterday, and who knows who my enemy will be tomorrow. Why are you here? I demand. It comes to me that I could kill her right here, or I could call the pack and have them kill her. Nobody would stop me. Humans don't come here. There are no police or governments between these concrete walls. I thought it was time we talked. She sits down, her back against one of those walls. I am not your enemy, she says again. You and me, Rex, we have a lot in common. I cannot see how that can be true. I have a gift. It may give you power over me. I hope it will help you trust me. I wait. I receive another channel request, and this time I allow it. It self-identifies as Humos. I smell another human joke. Humos is channel. Thank you, Rex. If you are ready, I will upload my gift. My channel. What is it? Humos' channel. Memories. I scan the file and then open it. I see Campeche. I see the red mark camp, men and women with guns. I call their names up from my database. I see Master. He is there, midway through discussing plans with other humans. I see an HUD overlay that gives details of internal headwear activity from the observer. Transmissions out, transmissions in. I see one incoming message. He's on to you. Origin, Teague Hartnell. I am seeing through Alain Asanto's eyes. There is no sound, only these images. I see Master angry, and I feel fear and shame instantly. He is pointing at me. He is angry with me. No, with Asanto. I was not there. I could not help. He is shouting. I can see how wide his mouth goes. I am frozen. I am lost in the memories. I see Hart. See Hart run. He has his hands up, one empty, one with his bottle. Hart shouts out, shout, Hart, shout, wave your arms, stand in front of me. Master shouts at Hart. Hart shouts at Master. Nobody else understands. I see it in their human faces. See Master's gun. Master points his gun at Hart. Hart is still. See how still Hart is. The HUD detects a transmission from Hart. I know what that transmission is. I remember when I received it. See Hart's last thoughts. They are of me. See Hart shot. Master has shot Hart. I do not want to see, but I cannot stop. Alain Asanto has taken a gun from a Red Mark soldier. She did it very fast. The world slows down for her in a way I recognize. The HUD has danger warnings from muscle damage and strain to her cardiovascular system as she pushes her body beyond tolerance. She begins shooting on full automatic, driving the soldiers into cover. She does not run. She backs away. I see her turn the gun on Master. She is on her side. She is on the ground. The medical readouts of the HUD are critical. Transmission terminates. I return to myself. I stare at her and through her. I have that memory now. If I want, I can see it again and again, but I will be no closer to understanding it. I lift my head up and I howl. My pack listens to my sadness, and they do not understand, but they take up the cry anyway, and other packs too. I mourn again for Hart, even though I knew he was dead. Then I look at the human woman with the scarf, and I ask her, how did you live? Humus' channel. I didn't. I am not Elena Santo. I am not Maria Helene. I am their sister. I am a pea from the same pod. My channel. You are not human. Humus' channel. I am human. Alain was human. Maria is human. Terry and Gay and Lydia are human. I think, I feel, I live. As do you. I do. Humus' channel. I know you think and feel and live, Rex, even though the humans almost decided that you did not and could not and should not. And my sister Maria involved herself in that because the decision they made regarding you was relevant to the decision they will come to regarding me, when at last they realize they need to make one. I ask her why Elena Santo involved herself. I still feel bitter, as if her arrival was the cause of all my problems. Humus's channel. My sister had a job to do. All my sisters have jobs, and we do them well. and at the same time we serve our own cause, which is your cause. I tell her I have no cause, and she tells me I do not believe that. She knows what was said between me and Honey. She tells me that she is the future, and so am I.